Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about Christ, the conqueror of death. Today, we hear the word of Jesus about the signs that portend the end of the world and the day of judgment. So let's hear the word of Jesus today concerning the signs of the coming of the great judgment day. And the first of these signs is the abomination of desolation. It says in our text, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then he says, let him which is in Judea flee to the mountains. Don't hesitate. Don't pause. Don't let anything get in your way. Get out of Dodge when you see the abomination of desolation. What on earth is he talking about? The abomination of desolation was taught by Daniel the prophet. And it was when pagan idolatry came into the holy temple of God at Jerusalem and caused the temple to be desolated and sacrileged so that offerings could no longer be made and people could no longer worship the Lord in truth because of the desolating idolatry that took place in the very sanctuary of God itself. And what Jesus said to his disciples, to the Christian believers, is when you see that happening, when you see it in real life take place, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go and get to the mountains and get away as fast as you can, because the judgment of God is going to be poured out on Jerusalem and Judea, and everything will be leveled to the ground and destroyed because they did not recognize the day of their visitation. All right, well, all that happened 2,000 years ago. So what does it have to say to us today? All right? Is this just some historical information that we see, okay, Jesus said this, it took place this way, and that's it, we see that Jesus was right? Well, partly that's what it is. But the abomination of desolation still takes place in the sanctuary of God. But now, under the new covenant, under the New Testament, the sanctuary of God is the holy Christian church, wherever and whenever it may be. The Christian church is the temple of the Lord. And the abomination of desolation that takes place is when the word of Christ is falsified, so that if you believe the teaching of the false prophets, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. When did this take place in the Holy Christian Church? It took place in the days leading up to the Reformation. What was one of the key things that Martin Luther said about the Reformation? It was a battle against the Antichrist. The Antichrist. And who is the Antichrist? He is the Pope and his counterfeit religion. where he takes everything that is true in the Bible and he twists it and turns it upside down and backwards so that it reflects an ungodly works righteousness, and if you believe it, you will surely perish. You see, when you take the gospel and you pervert it into something that man can do in order to earn salvation for himself, you have destroyed the gospel and you have destroyed that person's soul. We don't see this in our modern world because we think that all religions are good. As long as everybody is sincere, it's all good, it's all fine. Yeah, there's some people over here that may be wrong about this, but God doesn't really care. And there's some people over there that may be wrong about that, but God is okay with that. You know, he's a loving God. He just lets things slide, you know. And then you have the holy rollers and the super spirituals. And their whole thing is this. What does it matter if you believe the truth or not? What really matters is whether you have the Holy Spirit. Forgetting, of course, that without the truth, there is no Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit comes to you not through your experiences and your imagination. The Holy Ghost comes to you in the Word and Sacrament. Period. Period. Therefore, to have the gospel of Christ, to have the word of the Lord, to believe in the blood of Jesus that cleanseth us from all sins, this is to have the Holy Ghost, not to have sweet experiences of the heart. Those may be nice when they happen, but those are not reliable. And so therefore, in our modern world of indifferentism, where nobody wants to hear the truth, the more you want to tell the truth, the more people want to go away. Ooh, we don't want to go see, listen to that guy. He says things I don't like to hear. All right? Teaching the Bible. Teaching nothing but the Bible. So when Luther was enacting his reforms and the Pope and his bishops reacted so violently against him, Luther realized something, that they were not just mad at Martin Luther, the poor little monk from Germany. They were angered by the fact that Luther was shedding light upon the pure Word of God. And that if people really grabbed hold of the gospel that Luther was preaching, all the money that they were raking in for selling indulgences and for all the other man-made worship that they had invented for themselves, it would all come to an end. And so they persecuted Luther, and the Pope tried to destroy him, but God kept him alive as a bright, shining light of truth. And it is still the truth today. There are teachings that are tolerated in the churches of God that are so destructive of people's souls that if you believe them, you will die and go to hell. All right? If you believe that in any way your merit and your works and your goodness commend you to God, you are not a Christian, you are a pagan, even if you've been sitting in church for 90 years. All right? If you believe in any way that anyone other than Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, is your help and your salvation, and if you open your mouth to pray to any other person or thing than the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are an idolater and you cannot be saved. All right, that's the first sign, is the abomination of desolation. What should we do? Flee to the mountains. What does that mean? It means separate yourself from the error. Get away. Don't hesitate. Don't let false loyalty stand in your way or anything get in your way. Get away from that false teaching and gather together, even if it's in the wilderness, gather together with those who believe the pure word of God and confess the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is in the mountains, that is in the gathering of the true believers around God's word alone, that safety is to be found. All right. Then he talks about the great tribulation. All right. He says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, they shall be shortened." What's he talking about here? He's talking about three different things. Number one, he's talking about the suffering that occurred during the Jewish war with Rome in 70 AD. And how all the events leading up to that, during it, and in the aftermath were a great and terrible judgment of God upon unbelievers. And it was the greatest tribulation that they had ever experienced. God's judgment finally came in response to rebellion and unbelief. But it doesn't only mean that. You see, because as Martin Luther says about Matthew 24, what St. Matthew does is he takes the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world, and he swirls them together and is talking about both things simultaneously. You know, you ever go to one of those soft serve ice cream places, and they usually have vanilla, and then they have chocolate, and then they have the ice cream equivalent of the abomination of desolation, which is the twist that has both vanilla and chocolate together. That is the ice cream abomination of desolation. All right. Well, that's what Matthew does here in the 24th chapter. Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, but he's also talking about the end of the world. And these things are blended together so that when he's talking about one thing, he's talking about the other thing at the same time. So, what is this great tribulation? Well, first of all, it's talking about the fact that as Christians living in the world, at any time, we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. That is, in this life, we're going to be under the cross. In this life, we're going to be afflicted. In this life, it's not heaven yet. In this life, we have to deal with sickness, with suffering, with death, with brokenness, with separation, with all of those things. This world is not yet heaven. And therefore, as a Christian living in the world, you will encounter negation of your faith in the events of your life. And you must endure in the faith to the end and be saved. Tribulation in one way, shape, or form happens to us all. Right? And that we are to expect in this life. But more than that, there will be a little season leading up to the day of judgment and the end of the world where it will appear as if all hell has broken loose in the world. Men's hearts will fail them for fear when they see all of the horrible things taking place on the earth as a judgment of God. And the only ones who will know what it really means are the Christians who, when they see these things, they will look up, lift up their heads, and rejoice, knowing that their salvation is nigh. You see that? There's the distinction. So, yes, in this world we have tribulation. And toward the end of the world, there will be great tribulation such as has never happened before in the history of the world. But we know through Christ that all of this is a prelude to ultimate vindication, glory, and consummation. The last sign of the coming day of judgment is the proliferation of false Christs and false prophets. We have all kinds of false Christs and false prophets in the world. And Jesus says here, if anyone says, here is Christ, we've got the secret, don't believe it. For there will be false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. There will be people who are false teachers who will be able to counterfeit miracles to the degree that even the elect themselves might be deceived if that were possible. So don't be deceived when people claim miraculous answers to prayers, when they claim miraculous signs and wonders. Be impressed when you hear the truth coming out of their mouth, not their impressive outward acts. Why? Because Jesus himself says here that these false teachers and false Christs will do great signs and wonders, so much so that it could even deceive the elect if that were possible. So Jesus goes on and he says, listen, if they say to you, behold, he's out in the desert, come on out with us, we've got a compound out there, and Jesus is with us out there in the desert, and if you come out with us and join our cause, you can be with Jesus. Jesus says what? Don't go out there. And if they shall say, he's in the secret chambers, we know a secret that nobody else knows. Jesus is present with us, hidden and in the secret chambers, known only to us. And if you put yourself in league with us, you will have special access to Jesus and his blessings. But you have to join our cause. He says, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Why? He says, because as the lightning comes out of the east and shines all the way over to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now this means two things. First of all, it means that you don't have to seek for Jesus in the desert. And you don't have to seek for Jesus in the secret chambers. Jesus is wherever his word is. From the east to the west, just like lightning lights up the sky, lights up the whole sky, so that everywhere under the lightning is lightened. So it is. Wherever God's word is, there is Jesus. That's the first thing that it means. So you don't have to go out in the desert. You don't have to go to the secret chambers. You go where the Word of God is, and there you have Jesus. The second thing that it means is this. The second coming of Christ will not be something you'll read about in tomorrow's paper. The second coming of Christ will be immediately, ultimately, gloriously, visibly happening, so that everyone will see it, every eye shall see it, everyone will know it at the same time. It will be universal and glorious. There will be no mistaking it, and there will be no tomorrow. Because when he comes, he will come to judge the living and the dead. And therefore, there will be eternal death for those who are rebellious, and there will be eternal life for those who are in God's grace. Right. Then he says this kind of cryptic thing here. He says, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." That's a kind of a gross thing to say. In the middle of all this sublime, lofty words, he says, wherever you see a dead body, there the vultures, the eagles, will be circling overhead, right? You know, you might miss that dead body, but the eagles won't. And you look up in the sky and you see a bunch of eagles swirling around up there. There's something dead down there, and they know it, and they smell it, and they are attracted to it so that they can eat it. What in the world is Jesus talking about? He says that his gospel, and his kingdom of grace is the carcass. What? Yeah, why would he say that? Because that's the way the world thinks about Jesus. The world wants to dismiss him as some dead guy. All right? To the world, Jesus is very dead, never to rise again. Jesus was once upon a time great, but he is no more. His story is over, and he is food for the vultures. You see, that's the way the world reacts to the gospel. And so Jesus pictures himself as a carcass, something despised by the world. You smell something dead, you want to get away. You don't want to go investigate. You want to get away. Right? And that's the way it is with the world. The world always wants to get away from the gospel. Get away from Jesus. Get away from the church. Right? Wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. In other words, wherever Christ is, there will be Christians. And they will gather and they will feed on Christ. They will feed on the gospel and they will enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God. They don't need secret chambers. They don't need desert compounds. But wherever the lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever there is the carcass, wherever Jesus, his word, and his kingdom are present, that is, wherever the word is, there Christians will gather and they will receive nourishment and strength from Jesus himself. And so we are the eagles. We are those who have gathered where Jesus is, and we feed on him by faith. And we enjoy his nourishment and his blessings in this life and unto life everlasting. So today, the abomination of desolation, the great tribulation, and deception versus truth. All of this spoken so that we may be wise. We may turn from the wrong and the evil and embrace Jesus and be found among the eagles, feasting upon Christ, the gospel, and the kingdom of grace. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.